This is the case where an entire town kept hush about a known killer.
Ken McElroy was Skidmore, Missouri's town bully. Skidmore is a small city, and in 2020, the population was at 245 people. However, in 1981, it was nearly double that. Ken was born in June 1934 and was the second youngest of 16 siblings. By the age of 15, he had dropped out of school and began to lease nearby land, whilst also becoming a small-time thief. He was charged 21 times with thefts of grain, gasoline, alcohol or livestock, but no one wanted to testify against him as he had the ability to intimidate many. He used to brag about his lawyer, Richard Gene McFadden, and he told everyone that Richard represented him, as well as the mafia. Ken weighed at 122 kilograms and apparently was able to look quite big, tough and scary. By 18, he was allegedly involved in an accident at a construction site where a steel slab fell on him. Some argue that this was the cause of his later erratic behavior. Following the footsteps of his family, he was the father to 10 children, but with different women. His third and last wife was Trina McLeod, and they had met when she was 12. By the time she was 14, she was pregnant and went to live with Ken and his then second wife, Alice. It's also noteworthy that Ken was accused of raping two 12-year-old girls. One was Trina, and apparently, he married both girls to keep them from testifying against him. He was also accused of abusing his first two wives. Ken burnt down Trina's family home, and he also shot their family dog. The reasons as to why he did so vary. Some say that Trina's parents were against the relationship, and so Ken did these acts, leaving the family to reluctantly agree to their desire to get married. Whilst others say that Trina tried to run away after she gave birth to a child, and so Ken burned down the house and shot the dog. By June 1973, Ken was indicted for arson, assault, and statutory rape. He was released on a $2,500 bail. However, later after 1981, all three women claimed that he had treated them well. Trina even blamed the house fire on faulty wiring and claimed the police had it out for Ken.
Now, I don't know if you're aware of something, Chip. It's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes.
Now, let me explain that to you and to anyone that doesn't know what that is. What it is people falling in love with their own kidnappers, right? And what that very well it could happened with these two girls is obviously they were very young when it all happened. And so it is very possible that they just grew up and they fell in love with it because that's all they know. They've been coerced into this whole thing. And so, yes, Stockholm Syndrome could have very well played its part in this. And that's one of the reasons why when they were speaking about it, they go, oh no, he was nice to us, da da da. When in actual fact, this guy is clearly tapped. Now, there's a YouTube comment. I'm going to go ahead and read it out.
Yes.
Let me know your thoughts on it.
Okay, hit me. I'm all ears.
My family, on my mother's side, grew up near Skidmore, and everyone knew this guy. If he thought you'd slighted him, it was nothing for him to shoot your dog or burn your house down. He shot a guy's pet goat once for crossing him and laughed about it. Another time, he took a deputy's gun away from him at the bar and called the sheriff to tell him his boys shouldn't play with guns. Everyone was just too afraid to do anything because the guy wasn't right in the head. And there's basically no law in a tiny town in the middle of nowhere. Oddly enough, though, if the meathead liked you, he'd bend over backwards to help you. On one occasion, he bought my grandma 3 gallons of goat milk that was more than he could drink from his goats. Said most people had turned him down because it was too sweet. Damnedest thing.
I wouldn't want to take anything from this guy though, because then I feel like I owe him.
Yeah. And then you could just imagine him going, oh, how come you didn't steal this goat with me? I brought you some milk around one time. And it's like, oh, okay, well, your house has just burnt down. Sorry about that, bro.
Yeah, this is the kind of guy you don't want to be involved with.
But at the same time, can he just cut around doing that? Like, this guy had 21 charges. Chip, please explain to me, at what point do you go, right, enough is enough, this guy just needs to stay behind bars?
Yeah.
Like, is it the 10th time he gets charged? Is it the 15th? Because it sure as hell shouldn't take 21 charges to realize this guy has something very wrong
with
him.
Like, the sheriff must be really scared to just not put this guy behind bars.
Yeah. Like, or are him and the sheriff...
canoodling.
Canoodling. I like that. Do you want the easiest Christmas present of your life? For real, though. Beer 52, they're back. And I'm not even joking. If you have a family member, a close friend that you need to buy a Christmas present for, this is it. This is so easy to do. What it is a beer membership. And what they do is they send out beers to you. They send a wide variety of beers from all over the world. And they send them to you and you can select either light beers. Personally, me and Chip, we always go for the light beers. But if you know the person, they might prefer the dark beers. So you can select that. And what they do is they send out beers to you on a regular basis, and you're just never gonna run out of booze, essentially, which is absolutely fantastic. At the Mystery Channel, we always have a good offer for you guys, and they are offering you 10 free beers. Ooh. And all you have to do is cover postage, which is £5.95. I'm gonna be honest with you, if you do the quick math, that is an absolute bargain on a per beer basis, right? And the way you get involved in that is by checking out beer52.com/crime. Don't say we don't sort you out. This is the easiest Christmas present of your life. Beer52.com/crime. Free 10 beers, just like that. All you gotta do is pay the postage.
Ka-chow.
In 1980, one of his 10 children got in trouble for trying to steal some sweets from a local grocery store. She got in trouble by the owner, who went by the name Bo. After this occurred, Ken started to keep an eye out on the Bo family and started to stalk them. At one confrontation, Ken shot Bo in the neck, but luckily, Bo survived, and Ken was arrested for attempted murder. He was convicted and released on bail until his appeal came in. As usual, he tried to intimidate Bo's family to try and to keep them from testifying. The neighborhood didn't feel safe with Ken walking around freely, and so they decided to gather to talk about what they could legally do to protect themselves, leading to a neighborhood watch being set up. Someone at this meeting said, quote, "We simply felt that the system had failed us. We all knew what McElroy was like, and there he was again and again. It seemed like nobody could stop him." On July 10th, 1981, his appeal hearing was delayed, and so he went to a bar with Trina. The neighborhood decided to go to the same bar as a whole group, as they believed in safety in numbers. Once Ken finished drinking, he left in his pickup truck, but before he could drive off, he was shot a few times and he was hit twice. The windows of the truck were shattered and Trina dove out of the car and was helped to safety. There were about 40 to 60 witnesses, but no one could identify the killer, and no one called for an ambulance. The only witness who pointed fingers was Trina, who identified Del Clement, but nobody backed her up. When a journalist covered the case, he said that the townsfolk believed that he needed killing.
This is what Bo's daughter said. "We were so bitter and angry at the law letting us down that it came to somebody taking matters into their own hand. No one has any idea what a nightmare we lived." You can imagine that this entire town hated this bloke, right? Like, they clearly did. What do you think, Chip? At this town meeting, do you actually think that they came together with a plan here? Or do you think it was one guy that was just like a rogue killer that had killed?
I feel like it was one guy seeking justice for the town. I can see it in my head.
You don't think it was planned at this town meeting?
I just feel like at the town meeting, they're all having a horrible time speaking about it. Like it says here, the sheriff urged everyone not to take matters into their own hand, but it might have been more like a saying it formally.
Yeah.
But realistically, let's fucking fix this. So someone sort him out.
Yeah. And I like the whole thing about how the townspeople, like, they've clearly gone with the no witness, no case mentality that Ken had throughout, because that's what he would always say when these acts were committed.
Mm.
That, yeah, look, hey, there's no case. There's no witness here. There's no case. And now all of a sudden someone has killed Ken and everyone goes, "Didn't see it. Don't know anything about it," because it's almost like a bit of a vigilante type of scenario here.
Maybe the town were all doing it.
Yeah, that's what I know you think is one rogue person. What I think has happened here is at the town meeting. Everyone's gone, this Ken guy, like, he is a problem, da 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 da. Like, someone just needs to get rid of him.
It's a tight knit community.
I don't think they planned it, but there's people there going, someone needs to get rid of him. Like, this, he's becoming more of a problem. And then I think at that point, one person probably at that town meeting went, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And went and did it. Do you reckon they even told the rest of the town, or do you reckon they just went and did it?
No, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the town, like, are almost certain they know who actually did it, but for the town's sake, they've just gone, bro, we do not want to punish the person that pretty much put us out of our misery.
Mm. Yeah, I'm thinking the town did do this.
Yeah, or at least they knew of it. I don't think the way it makes it sound was like it was planned by the town. Like, they all sat around and had a map and were like, right, then this is going to...
When Del Clement got accused by Trina, they were all backing... They might have known he did it, but they were backing him. Like, no, it wasn't him, blah, blah, blah.
For sure.
No witnesses, baby.
The only suspect investigated in this murder was Del Clement, a part owner of the bar where Ken had his last drink. Del Clement denied any wrongdoing, and as there were no more witnesses, the case was dropped. The district attorney came up empty-handed. A writer who wrote about this case, Harry McLean, spent years beside Del Clement and claimed he was the strongest suspect, and he could visualize him committing the murder. Harry also believes that the murder wasn't planned, but committed spontaneously. However, the whole town benefited, and so they were happy to stay silent.
So there we have it. That is, you know what? This just reminds me of like proper small town gossip, like Desperate Housewife type beat. Like, you know, everyone knows everything. He's like obviously the town hated guy. This guy clearly has something wrong with him. And then peace has been brought. There's like a bit of a vigilante thing. I mean, I would be pretty confident to say that the town people absolutely knew who did this, but it's in all of their best interest to just...
I bet the town was a better place.
Well, let me give you a little update. In fact, the town, after Ken's death, there was a decrease in pig thefts.
Good. So I knew it. I knew he was buying the pig thefts.
Absolutely. Now, in 1984, Trina filed for a wrongful death lawsuit for $5 million. The case was settled for $17,600 outside of court.
Quite the gap.
Yeah, not quite the $5 million she was after. But she did pass away in 2012. And Del Clement,
the main suspect,
did pass away in 2009 as well. Maybe. Now, the way we'll know if it was Del Clement, if you go back, there might be memorials of this bloke. Genuine statues if he did do this.
He'd be worshipped in that town.
Exactly. But
save the town.
That's it, guys. Let us know what you think. There's probably a lot of these like local rural stories. I find them quite interesting. This was quite a short case, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
I did too.
So if you guys did enjoy this, then make sure you check out the YouTube channel if this is not where maybe you're listening. And if you're watching and you prefer to listen to this on your commute, then you can over on Spotify and The Fellas Mysteries. Check that out. And until next time, Chips.
We'll see you next Monday, 6 p.m. for a brand new case.